When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi everyone, it's Sophie here. Before we get started on this episode, Kate and I wanted to say that we know you, like us, are probably pretty concerned about the coronavirus. It's a strange and worrying time, and at a time like this, chat about cushions and paint might seem a bit trivial. But on the other hand, it might be just the escapism and cheer we all need. So, in that spirit, we particularly hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Kate Watson-Smythe.
And I'm Sophie Robinson.
And thank you to our sponsor, Topps Tiles. Find a range of colourful and patterned wall tiles at Topps Tiles. There's a colour to suit any personality.
And pattern is really having a moment. We're sticking it on everything from walls to sofas, floors to ceilings, and we can't get enough of it.
And choosing pattern tiles is actually a great way to add some drama without feeling you have to have too much colour.
What do you mean too much? Layer it on, that's what I say.
Well, less is more, Sophie, less is more.
No, it's not. More is always more, and there is loads of choice on the Topps Tiles website.
There is something for every taste, even when it's as different as mine and hers.
Now, talking of colour and pattern, today we are marking the last show of the series with a visit to the home of a designer responsible for one of the most recognised motifs of the 21st century. Her incredibly distinctive flair for colour and pattern has extended to furniture, wallpaper, kitchenware, handbags, even a limited edition range of Citroën cars. She is, of course, Orla Kiely, the Irish designer famed for her stem motif, among other beautiful things. Orla, thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome.
In your beautiful home. We're here in South London. On a really grey day outside, I hasten to add, but the colour and the pattern's popping in here.
Well, thank you, yeah.
So we're here in your kitchen, beautiful open plan space. And I think this room, this is the perfect place to start, isn't it? Because we've got lots of your homewares here. I'm looking at there's kitchen canisters, there's tea towels, all with your really distinctive pattern on. And quite a kind of like modern but mid-century vibe going on.
I was going to say that. It's a Victorian house, is it?
It's a Victorian house, yes.
But it works brilliantly. It could be totally a 1960s from in here.
Yeah, I still like to kind of keep some of the Victorian features. And we have kept the features where they were evident, you know. But this basement kitchen, there really wasn't much Victorian here. So it was lovely. We moved here about 12 years ago and it was divided into rooms and there was a long hallway. So we knocked it all out and then re-kind of configured it to work for us.
Okay, so we've got a kitchen at the front end with the sink in the bay, lovely island. Then you move through into the dining area. And then what I'm loving here, though, is you step down.
Sunken sitting room.
Yeah, yes. Shall we have a little look?
Are we sinking?
We're sinking, down the sinking.
Oh.
And I love the idea of, because the doors here open fully in the summertime, and I love the fact that we took the outdoor flagstones indoors.
Oh, that's quite clever.
So that these when in the summertime, it just flows.
I think you see a lot of houses, and we made this mistake, actually, of wanting the same inside and out and then thinking you have to have the same level.
Mm.
And that then becomes a problem. So we first built a deck up to the level of the kitchen floor, and then we constantly felt when we were in the garden that we were on a stage waving to the neighbours. So then we took it down went back down again. And actually, you've gone down into your sitting area and you go back up to the outside and it works really well. And there is still a uniform material.
Yeah, it's worked out really well. We love it down here. We do practically live down here.
I was going to say, I bet you do. It's got the telly, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's got the telly.
Wonderful wood panelled walls.
Yeah, which makes it feel warm.
Yeah.
The entire wall all the way from the garden windows all the way through, and then it also covers some of the kitchen cupboards as well. Really nice continuation. Yeah. That's really clever. Yeah. From bookshelves to wall panelling
to kitchen fridge.
Cupboards.
You know, it's wonderful to see that you live with your designs as well. It reminds me of a story where I knew someone who went to interview Delia Smith and was invited for lunch, and she opened the cupboards and it was full of ready meals.
And you've just told all the thousands of our listeners.
We'll edit that bit. But it's great to see that you're wearing it and you're living it. Yeah. And that wallpaper, and what I'm loving is the sort of hints of vintage Orla. Mm. Is that a vintage flower design?
It's we probably did that many years ago. I mean, I like the scale and I like the fact that it's yellow.
Yeah.
And I love yellow. I love all shades
of yellow. So this is interesting because I'm
merging,
an yellow.
Morphing into green. Well, olivey green. So olive green and yellow are friends. I mean, you know, they're all in the same family.
So what is it about yellow you love so much? I'm fascinated by this.
I don't know. I don't know if it's kind of from my childhood, growing up in Ireland. I often say that because you go out into the countryside and the fields will be covered in, or the mountainsides, with gorse and different things. And orange was the same. So also the sunniness of it. I do love the fact that it's quite a happy colour.
Yeah, it's a really happy colour.
And just talking before we move on, as I said, you're living in it and you are wearing it. Am I right in thinking you're not doing fashion anymore? You've gone wholesale into interiors.
Yes. I mean, I think at the moment we are doing much more bags and home. I graduated from the Royal College of Art back in the early 90s, and I just went straight into handbags. It was how we kind of got our print.
Applied to something.
Yes. Well, I've got two or three of those in my wardrobe.
That was really the very first thing we did as a business.
Because actually we hadn't seen printed handbags then,
no,
had we?
That was, I mean, it was definitely something that people weren't doing.
And then moved into fashion. So again, and it was applying the print to clothes, was it?
Yeah. I mean, I majored with print for fashion, so I was always interested in fashion. But then, you know, as you kind of get older and grow up, you get interested in interiors, I suppose, because you have a house.
Well, you can't go out, you've got children.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
So, you know, you kind of waver. I was always wavering between fashion and home.
So do you feel a bit reinvigorated having moved away from fashion and suddenly going fully into interiors?
In a funny way, it's lovely to kind of get back and really focus on the part that I love.
Yeah, fantastic.
And a great time because, you know, as we're seeing, we are just mad for print and colour in interiors right now, aren't we? Yeah. The grey has, you know, it's still there. I think actually it was on the Radio 1 the other day. Zoe Ball was saying there'd been some poll and they sell more grey paint than any other colour.
Yes, I got that press release too.
Yeah. We swiftly ignored it.
Yes, I mean, grey is a great base to apply colour to. I think it is still there as a kind of a backdrop. Dark grey to me is very
and
nice.
You've got, I mean, in here you've got some grey, this lovely sort of felt grey upholstery on your sofas, which works really well then with the sort of more mustardy yellow wallpaper.
I mean, it's dog friendly. It has to be here.
As we stand here with our back to the French windows, looking through the dining area, this most incredible kitchen island, which can only be an Orla piece, I'm guessing. I mean, it looks very 60s. So it's an island with sort of metal struts and it's actually not cupboards, it's a
cooker hood, isn't it, well, over know, it? Yeah. Did you design and build that?
Yeah, I mean, I worked with a guy who kind of helped realise what I wanted, so yeah. It was good, and I kind of planned a lot of it. But I kind of wanted it to be a piece of furniture, not, you know, like a freestanding thing rather than
yeah.
an island.
And then you've tucked the kitchen sort of almost into a sort of walk-in cupboard kind of thing.
What's nice about that is the sink, the dishwashers and the kind of pantry are around that corner. So if we've got friends here, it's always nice to kind of put all the dishes around.
Oh, that there. That's
so you're not looking
yeah.
at it.
Yeah.
That because this is top yeah. tip for open yeah. plan kitchen, isn't it? Yeah. Have a little pantry yeah. nook around the corner yeah. where you yeah. hide everything. Yeah. I love that idea.
Do you want to go and have a look?
We're not very quick at doing our washing up in our house. No. It seems to always have a pile next to the sink.
You might have to get up and start cleaning.
Well, no, especially when you've got your friends over. You want to be doing the chatting.
I mean, it is. It's a bit of a...
Oh, lovely.
Everything gets thrown in there.
There's kilner jars, open shelving.
Yeah.
Yeah, orange, so we've got the green, olive, yellow. The yellow, yeah. and the orange. Yeah, so yeah. sort of three key colours.
Yeah.
Isn't
I think
it?
So.
Pulling the whole thing together.
For me, I kind of think that's the base that I kind of work from often.
What, three colours?
Yeah, orange, green, yellow. But onto that, you can apply kind of pinks and blues and.
But you always come back to that core. They're your yeah. colours.
That's your red thread.
That is my thread.
Yeah. Throughout the whole house. Yeah. Oh, let's yeah. go and see some
yes,
more.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. So we're going up now yes. from the basement. What was it? Beautiful dark grey wall, Sophie. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I know, but I am
that's
noticing
colour.
This little yellow book
and
nook.
That is more grey. Yes.
Well, that's a bit of me, that, isn't it?
Isn't
that
gorgeous? And a vintage Eames.
More mid-century iconic design around every corner.
There's a lot of mid-century in here. And
oh my God, the green leather sofa.
Sorry, boys, girls.
Girls. Who's who? So there's a bit, is that a Labradoodle?
Olive. Labradoodle.
Hello,
who's,
Olive.
And she's
Olive, even
she's
the dogs are called
twelve.
By the key colours. Is that Olive and Mustard?
Who's this?
Olive and Ivy.
Olive and Ivy.
They're very sweet. I got distracted by the dogs. I'm now taking in the room. Ceiling roses, cornicing, but at the back of the house, just this wonderful James Bond-esque kind of big picture window. I love it.
And it's nice because the wood comes back. So that's all
wood from downstairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Another red thread.
Another thread.
Yes. To describe to the listeners, this is almost a classic Victorian sort of knock-through, mm-hmm. isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's a sitting room. It goes from the bay window at the front right through to the back, but you've got huge... Are they sliding or folding doors?
Folding.
This colour on the walls is quite nice. It's...
It's grey!
It's grey!
It is grey. It's grey.
No, but because it's a very mousy, warm grey, isn't it, would you say?
And it's dark.
Chocolate grey.
Chocolate grey.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a beautiful
God, don't,
colour.
Doesn't the colour pop against it, though? Wow, yeah. Your collection of ceramics. That can make
She's rethinking. She's rethinking the whole grey is dead.
I'm appreciating grey done well.
But, you know, it's easy to paint. And in the end, you know, we haven't painted this for a while, so you never know. I might be in the mood for...
For a change. Do you switch
dark
about often?
Green or... Well, I do like a fresh coat of paint from time to time. And I do love dark. I mean, I think it's nice to have dark walls.
Well, and it's nice it's an evening room, isn't it? So, and also, but that table, it looks completely like a vintage piece, but then it looks like your design in the tiles.
No, it is a vintage piece. And
is it?
Yeah, I
it's
mean,
amazing.
My work is inspired. You know, I do love looking back at that time and referencing. But then I think we have a more modern take on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
definitely more graphic and...
A bit more graphic, and sometimes the colours can be a bit fresher, can't they?
Yeah. But I do love that table.
Yes.
And you know what? It's low. It's so low. When I first had it, I thought, wow, it's very low for a coffee table, but Ivy tucks herself underneath there.
Oh, cute!
And it's really sweet.
She can get away from Olive, because Olive can't get under there.
Is she going to get bigger, though, Ivy?
No.
And then she gets stuck.
No, that's
right. Oh, okay, that's
Ivy
all right.
Ivy is six.
Where do you source your bits and bobs,
all
then?
All sorts of places. I'm very quick. If I see something I like, I just
go for it.
Yes.
Is that because you have sort of developed a really distinctive style?
I don't know
quickly what you like.
I don't know. I think it's just the way I am. I can wander through a shop and see nothing, but when I see something I like, I just...
And then you buy it,
I go for it,
You don't hesitate.
Well, I do, depending on the price.
But your tips then, because now we are in the classic Victorian room, and yet, you know, you've put this mid-century furniture in here and it works beautifully.
Yeah.
Have you got any advice for people who aren't sure how to mix periods, or do you just go for it? Or?
Well, I've just gone for it, but I suppose in a funny way, it's keep it simple, I guess. I mean, we haven't so much mixed the furniture. We've just put my taste of furniture into a very simple Victorian space.
Yes. I mean, and with quite a tight colour palette as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, keeping the colours, even though you've got lots of pattern and styles happening, the colour palette's quite tight, isn't it?
Yeah. Is there anywhere in here sort of, you know, one of your first designs? Do you remember where the stem came from?
The stem came, when I think about it, it was about 20 years ago. And it was a very spontaneous design.
Was it back of the envelope? I've just had a thought.
It practically was. It was one of those things that it was a very kind of quick doodle that then we refined. And over the years, when you look at a very early stem, you'll see how it's kind of refined. The very first one was more open. There was more space around it. And we've really kind of closed it up. So it's much more kind of intense now. And, you know, that's what happens. You just kind of keep perfecting things, I think, throughout.
Are you quite a perfectionist in the way you work?
I think I'm a graphic designer.
Right.
In some ways. Yeah. That was always my approach to
the
work.
The passion is very much on that sort of flat,
clean,
2D
simple,
image.
Very repetitive. You know, me and my team spent time refining elements, the elements that go in to make up a repeat. So that element has to be absolutely perfect first, and then the rest is easy.
And are you pen and paper, or do you now do it on computer? Have you changed your sort of working methods?
We mostly do it on computer, but we are pen and paper to start off with.
Yeah.
So often it's quick doodles, and I'm more likely to do the drawings, and then I hand it over to very much more computer efficient people than I am.
Who would you say, you know, you talk about how clearly your childhood had an influence on your colour palette. Who are the sort of designers that you have taken inspiration from?
When I came to London as a student, I'm trying to remember, when I first moved out of our family home into a flat, I remember discovering inside, you know, you'd open a kitchen cupboard in a rented flat and it would have light, you know, layers and layers of old wallpaper and shelf liners that they used to have in those days.
Yeah.
And I used to be really inspired by that. And you couldn't find, back in the 80s, you couldn't really find 60s.
Yeah.
But in the end, I think I was always kind of drawn to mid-century and to kind of pattern of the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so much bolder. It was so much more graphic. It was so, the colours were funky. So I think I always loved that. And
Isn't
I was drawn to that.
How it stayed with you. You've stayed very true to that initial passion and resonance with that particular era.
I know.
And yet it's never fallen out of fashion since you've...
Yeah.
Every designer wants to know that secret. What do you think the longevity comes from?
I think it's like everything. I think now so many kind of fashions all happily live together. When we were growing up, it was kind of things would come in as like everybody would just...
Do the same thing.
And now I just think there's so many different kind of styles you can kind of
take on or mix up. So there's the idea that we can mix styles. That's fairly new,
and
isn't
it? I think with the internet, with eBay, with, you know, you can access so much more. Back in the day, we had to go to markets. You know, you had to go to secondhand stores, markets, and all
Car
of that. That was where we found inspiration. Of course, now you go online and everything's a Google.
Yeah, just the Google away. Yeah.
You know?
You've stayed very clear to your design. Mm. And I remember years ago interviewing Chrissy Rucker of The White Company and going, come on, it's just not all white, is it? And she said, no, it is. and she said that if one of her children wanted an orange bedroom, she would allow them to have that. But she said to me that she wouldn't really be able to go in there very much.
Wow.
Do you look at the sort of chintz explosion of maximalism and you know, you do flowers obviously, but they're much more stylized. Do you feel a bit sort of about that, or can you appreciate it but
I totally appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I do like maximalism for me, but it would be mixing my kind of prints but you know, small and big, different colors, tones. I mean, I love mixing it all up, and you can kind of do as much as you like, I think.
Mm. Yeah, keep it personal of what you love for you.
Yeah, you've got quite a lot going on here. You're more in the maximalist camp than the minimalist,
I mean, I do like bold, strong statements, but I do, then I am a bit of a, I mean, I'm a bit of a gatherer. I do love, yes.
Do you have a look
at someone? I'm not a good editor for myself, you know, when it comes to saying, does this stay or go? I usually
say, it's usually stay.
No Marie Kondo for you, then.
No.
You are friend to this podcast.
Yes.
It's
hard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And I do love that painting.
I was about to say, you've got some stunning, stunning artwork in your home. It's beautiful. Is that something that you collect over the years?
That's something I got from the Royal College of Art degree show about 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and she's a Danish artist. And it's just, I just like the scale of it.
I was going to say, it's massive.
And I don't always see paintings that, when I go to these things that I love.
It's probably like a metre and a half by 2 metres, I'd say, at least. It's very primitive abstract, isn't it? There's just sort of lovely blocks. Am I beginning to sound like an art critic? Like
a little bit, yeah.
Big blocks of colour, but lots of texture as well, with the paint strokes and everything.
It's got cacti on it.
It's got cactus and it's got blocks of yellow and pink.
There you go.
Against a very
stormy sky.
Swampy green.
Yeah.
Anybody play the piano? Who plays the piano?
Our youngest son. We got that years ago at an auction, and I really didn't want Victorian piano that was too high. So I went to a funny little auction, and I was told by this music shop to ask this piano advisor to come with me. And we saw that piano, and everybody else was looking at these huge grand pianos, proper ones. And I saw that, and nobody wanted it. I was like, I will go to this amount. And when the bidding started, it was like 300. No one wants 300.
Oh, so it
went down and down.
It was like, ooh, this is fabulous. And my son, brilliant. It's a cute one, and my son loves it. It's from the 60s. It's a British piano.
Gorgeous.
Oh, Kemble Minx. There we go.
Love that.
So it was tuned, and the piano advisor said, it's a good one. Go for it. Because apparently you can buy a piano that doesn't have very good
sound.
Well,
we moved into our last house and the owner said, oh, you know, would you like to keep the piano? Because they're very difficult to move and our children have moved out and don't play it. So we said, oh, yeah, fantastic, free piano. And we called the piano tuner in and he said, forget it. There's no way you will ever tune this. And we had to pay someone to take it away. So then we were like, now we get why they wanted to leave it here. Yeah. Yes, untunable.
When it's being played by our youngest son, it sounds so lovely.
Yeah.
And fills the house, all the high
ceilings.
And he's
very good, and he just kind of rambles. He plays very organically, so it just kind of flows.
Oh, wow. It's very lovely.
Nice.
I'm transported to sort of Sunday mornings and listening to the music.
Nice. My son's 8 and playing the ukulele, that's not quite so relaxing.
No.
I have to say.
Oh, you've colour-coded your books.
Oh, I do like a book colour-coding. Look, isn't that pleasing? So we've got a shelf of blue books, then the pink, red, maroon books, then all the yellows and all the sort of black and white books at the top. That does look nice. You've got
The Serif TV.
I know.
Ah, it's moving
fabulous. Moving away from the colour-coordinated books. The Serif TV, which was an incredible piece of design.
I don't know why they stopped doing that.
So it was designed by the Burelek brothers for Samsung. And the idea was that televisions were just getting bigger and blacker and thinner. And they wanted to reclaim it as a piece of furniture and uglier. You know, when we were growing up, televisions were those big analogue things and everybody had a bowl of fruit on top.
Yeah.
And they wanted to sort of reclaim the idea of the television, not as a piece of technology, but as a piece of furniture. So it's wider. It's called the Serif because it's the shape of a capital I from the side. And it's wide enough on the top, not for a bowl of fruit, but to put something on. So serif, as in sans serif, only it's the other way around. So it's
because
got the sort
got
of twiddly
the serifs
bits
on the top.
Yes, and it's got hairpin legs. So it is a beautiful piece of quite 60s furniture almost. It's and that's navy blue, isn't it? But it fits
so you
perfectly.
You can tell this is a design podcast where we can spend 5 minutes discussing waxing around TV design.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Seriously?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, even though you say that you're quite impulsive and you love stuff, honestly, everything is just so beautifully placed.
Aww,
and nothing doesn't belong, does it? Even the TV completely belongs in this room with the whole scheme pulled together. And yet it doesn't... What's so clever is it doesn't feel forced either. You know, like if you're too discerning about what you have in your home, it can all start feeling a bit uptight.
Well, and I think it can be tricky if you do have everything from the same period. Mm. That feels a bit like you've just sort of gone add to cart.
Yes.
But I think because there's a mix here of vintage pieces and pieces you've collected and new things that you've seen that have fitted in, then that works. Because actually there's a huge floor-to-ceiling mirror, which is not at all 60s in design.
No. And do you know what that is? And I got that years ago. We had that in another house. That is a door architrave.
No,
from apparently... Wait for
I
this.
I like it.
Apparently for a bank. So it came from a... It was a big door in a bank. And there was no base on it. I just bought literally the three sides. And we put the glass in and put the piece of wood at
the
bottom.
So that would be, I mean, it's dark oak, heavily carved. It goes quite nicely with all the cornicing here. So it's kind of like a big, heavy Victorian piece, isn't it? So again, not what you'd expect with all your love of mid-century. But are you loving the fact that...
I love that it's wood.
And it's standing in front of what clearly is or was the chimney breast. There's no...
Yes.
I've just had a peek behind.
Yeah,
so there's no fireplace
there's a certain amount of storage.
Yes. Your secret is safe with us, Ola. All the stuff is just pushed behind everything.
Do you sort of have one look that you consistently use throughout all the houses you've lived in, even your office spaces and your retail spaces? Or do you design specifically, like, is this design just for this house?
I think this design kind of works for this house. This has been quite organically done. It's not really been a blank canvas where I've designed it and then done it. You know, it's grown into itself in some ways because I've kids, you know, it's a family house, etc. But we did do, our old office, we converted into flats. That was very much kind of me going full out. I had all the floors done in granito tiles with our own design on. I did kind of crazy bathroom tiles in the bathroom and on the splashback. We had kind of shelving made out of an old tree that we had got from somebody in Ireland that was super cute. We just went for it. So it was a full-on eyeful of print, pattern and colour.
Could you live in it? Could you have lived
in it? Oh, I could. You know, not everyone could.
Because I want to ask, and don't take this the wrong way. I mean, clearly you're wearing your design, you're living in your design, and you're working. And have you never felt coming home after a day in the studio and wrestling with a design that maybe you don't want to look at another Orla Kiley cushion again?
I don't think I do, because I think I just love pattern. I do love print and pattern, and I think I've just grown up with it. It's kind of my thing, a bit like music, I suppose. You know, how you love something.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, for me, it can be kind of soothing or it can be invigorating. You know, I feel like it does impact your mood. Do you want to see this?
Yeah, what? See what? I mean, I'm looking at what looks like a piece of modern artwork at the top of the stairs. Oh, no way. It's a hidden door.
Oh, I've got a hidden door.
Not like this. You haven't, Kate Watson's side.
Yeah,
what's behind it?
It's a shower.
No way. That's so cool. So that's a wet room shower with a basin.
Yeah.
With a glass. What I'm loving, though, is the glass ceiling. So you're just bathed in light.
It's like showering outside, but warmer.
And the neighbours can see you.
But the birds can. And this is your tile design here.
Yes. It's an interesting thing when you do pattern tiles because you have to really plan how you put them on the walls. We literally did maquettes of because of all the crashing, you have to cut tiles. And you know, they go around so many shelves and
corners.
What are your tips for planning out pattern tiles?
Well, I think you have to plan it.
Like,
you have to literally measure it.
The grout lines.
And I think
included.
The tip is the smaller the tile and the smaller the print, the easier.
Yes, interesting.
Okay. The bigger the print, because when you go into corners and you're cutting them, they will crash.
What do you mean by crash?
It means half a flower crashing into a quarter of a flower.
Yeah, yeah.
Do
so
you know
it
what I mean?
Ruins the print.
Yes.
And for a print purist like you, that
absolutely
is sacrilege,
but
isn't
we
it?
Really yes. minimise. We minimise these. See, those kind of things would be a...
I just... This see, door...
She's a perfectionist.
What looks like a piece of art, doesn't it?
This is our bedroom.
We allowed in.
You can
oh,
go.
Oh, lovely.
I've tidied it
Have all. You tidied for us? People do that for us. It's amazing.
Well, you have to, don't you? Come in. And the Olive sleeps here.
Of course she does. On the
Olive
chair.
Olive has a chair with a blanket.
And Olive is 12, so she has to go over there and take a little run and jump.
Oh, does she?
So I can hear her in the middle of the micro jumping up.
That is super sweet. So what's through these doors here, Orla? Can you open these doors?
Is that a wardrobe?
Yes, you can open them, but you're not allowed to.
Why?
Oh, I want to see your dressing room. Oh, your dressing room would be amazing.
No, it's you're not allowed to. No, because it's a bit of a storage room as well.
Oh, is it a junk room, Orla? Do you have a junk room?
She's
the spare room is a junk room.
Oh, we've all got one of those. Too. I feel so much better now.
I really like that fitted mirror idea. Oh, no, it's not a mirror.
It's glass.
That's cool, isn't it? So it looks like a floor-to-ceiling mirror, but I can see tiles, so it can't be.
So in front of Olive's chair bed, there's a panel of glass looking through to the bathroom, which I thought was a mirror initially. Mm. So you don't have an ensuite. There's a lot of Victorian houses would have a little bathroom at the front next to the big bedroom. And rather than... So you could have made a doorway through there, but you've kept it separate, but put a glass... wall in it. Was that just for light purposes, or was that just a funky design trick?
When we first bought this house, this was a whole room. So the bedroom, the master bedroom, was much bigger, but there was no bathroom.
Yes.
So in the end, we wanted a bathroom. I don't need a giant bedroom, you know, in the
end.
Well,
not because she's got the junk room. Doesn't need the storage on the show.
And there's the bathroom.
Oh, lovely.
But I mean, the bathroom is so
can
simple.
Can we all squirrel in?
Fancy.
Beautiful sort of milk chocolate brown
they
tiles, plain tiles.
Oh, look, and more of the
and more
tiles.
Of the patterned ones, which are gorgeous.
This is like a feature wall of pattern, isn't it? So you've kept the pattern tiles just on one wall all the way up to the ceiling, so you get real impact. And then the rest of the plain tiles that sort of coordinate in colour just up sort of halfway, really, or just above halfway. And then that means that you've got lots of white paint and ceiling to keep it all feeling light in here.
And these floorboards, they're such a beautiful dark colour. Did you stain them? And if so, what's the name of the stain and where can I buy it?
It's a mixture.
It's always a mixture.
I know. And
it's beautiful.
Really, I did that myself. I literally stained the floors myself. It's some kind of oak with a little bit of ebony mixed in.
So an oak stain and an ebony stain. And you did a huge amount, so you could do the whole lot in one go.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, you get it different.
I mean,
don't
it has worn away. That's the thing. It does wear away a little bit.
But it's gone in deeply enough to the wood that it looks like, you know, you've stolen them from some sort of Victorian monastery or something.
Maybe.
Yes, very beautiful.
Really nice.
Right, so we're back in Orla's sitting room, one of her sitting rooms. And just to summarise what we've learnt from walking around this wonderful house is that, first of all, if you can't find the furniture you want, then try and find a carpenter and come up with something that perhaps you could build together to fit the space. And also, very much back to the idea of the red thread, Orla has built on her three core colours of olive and yellow and a soft orange with lots of vintage wood throughout, linking all the spaces. And finally, and quite excitingly, dark grey is a great colour for showcasing all those other shades.
You're making me want to change my paint.
But
I've been thinking about it for ages. Dark green. I'm in the mood for
dark green.
I love dark green.
I've got dark green as well. Mm. So maybe I was kind of...
Dark green would be a great backdrop too. Yeah.
You were going to say better.
We're going to... Yeah, but obviously better. So this is the part of the show, Orla, where we ask our guests to share with us a design crime, anything that you find particularly irksome when it comes to interior design spaces.
Oh, it's very hard to think of a specific design crime because often, you know, bad is good depending on how it's done. You know, really,
as long as it's bad enough.
You know, it really has to be kind of done with kind of commitment. But what I think is a kind of a lack of commitment is probably my biggest design crime, where people lose their confidence in following through on an idea. So it ends up like a half-baked kind of thing. Mm, so do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yes. I absolutely
do. So it's really following through, even through the phase where you're not sure, but keep going.
Yeah, feel the fear.
Don't bottle it.
Because what you're saying is the outcome then is half-baked, wishy-washy.
Yes, and that's the crime. That's the shame.
Lovely. Sign up to that. Totally.
We will, of course, put lots of pictures of this stunning place on the blogs, madaboutthehouse.com and sophierobinson.co.uk. And, of course, on Instagram. So do follow us there. I'm still mad about the house, and she's at Sophie Robinson Interiors.
And you can, of course, also follow Orla, who is very conveniently at Orla Kylie. And do check out Orla's new collection, available at John Lewis. I understand some new rugs have just landed, and we've had a little sneaky peek, and they are absolutely gorgeous. Complete artwork for your floors. And don't forget the Great Indoors Podcast Facebook group, where everyone is getting very excited about the beautiful copies of Kate's new book, which keeps flopping through the letterboxes. If I haven't mentioned it once or twice before, it's called 101 Design Answers, by the way. And yes, I'm on a 10% commission.
You're so not. It's not all about me, though. I also spotted a brilliantly bonkers post from Elle Mugaza, who has a rather fabulous bright red Yorkshire teapot, which has cracked. Obviously, she can't use it for tea and was wondering if she could use it to put plants in on the terrace. The general consensus was... Oh, there goes the letterbox. The general consensus was that it wouldn't survive the frost without properly shattering. But then Moira Tulloch Penman came along and she says... I use my old teapots as bird feeders when the lids get lost, remarkably frequent, and they work really well. And she's even shared a picture of a hungry starling eating out of a blue teapot dangling from a tree. I love that.
And with that image of spring, we wrap up this sixth series. Do leave us a review if you haven't already. We do read them and we love each and every one of them. And we'll be back very soon, bursting with brand new ideas, tips and tricks. And Orla, finally, thank you so much for showing us around today. Thank you also to our fabulous sponsors, Topps Tiles, to our fabulous producer, Kate Taylor, and to you, our eternally fabulous listeners.
There's a lot of fabulousness around,
isn't there?
Well, we'll see you in the great indoors.